This is episode 443 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity ideas and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of November 15th through November 28th, 2025. What's new this week? Interview with anarcho-syndicalists from Russia on mobilization and repression from Antimilitaristica Iniciativa. Overstatement to call this an interview. This is a few questions about conscription and related events in Russia these days. Anarchy is not mentioned once. This is strictly about anti-militarism. Oh, and some worker stuff, of course. If you haven't read anything about current day Russia for the past, oh, let's say 3 years, then this might have some info you haven't heard before.
The liberal capture of anarchism from the polar blast, should I say, blast. Because there's an at sign, and I want to be true to that.
Trust the text. Follow the text blindly.
Well,
only do what the written word tells you to do.
That's every day. Quote, anarchist class war news and views for Aotearoa, unquote. Aside from what I consider some hyperbole, this is a fine complaint about the ease with which some so-called anarchists fold themselves into the left. While voting and electoralism are mentioned, the marker this group takes as the ultimate indicator is whether someone maintains a clear anti-militarist stance. Quote, once anarchists accept the legitimacy of war, they have surrendered their last meaningful distinction from the statist left. The result is an anarchism that obediently follows the emotional rhythms of Western media cycles, outraged when instructed, supportive when instructed, silent when instructed, instead of maintaining its own anti-militarist compass. Unquote. Hesitant as I am to promote something from a class war group, this piece makes plenty of good points. I'm sure someone you know could stand to hear some of them. That was The Liberal Capture of Anarchism.
A call for international solidarity with Alfredo Cospito from Abolition Media. This gives a thumbnail about the arrest and sentencing of Cospito and Beniamino, and Cospito's hunger strike against the policy of 4-1 bis, which is cruel and unusual even beyond the normal. There's a meaningful court date coming up in May 2026. Quote, we have nothing to ask nor hope for from the state. In fact, we are its enemies, and it treats us as such. In recent years, several trials have begun against comrades accused of participating in the mobilization in various ways. This demonstrates once again that one of the main aims of repression is to attack solidarity. This should not cause us to withdraw, but rather provides an opportunity for a new beginning. We want to continue the struggle with Alfredo against the prison regime that has him locked up so that he knows, despite his total isolation, that his comrades are there and will not leave him alone. However, we also want it for ourselves. We conceive of active and combative solidarity with prisoners as an integral part of the perspectives and projects we develop toward anarchy and against the prison society in which we all live. Unquote. What does solidarity mean?
Attack!
Right? Right?
The feds want to make it illegal to even possess an anarchist zine, from The Intercept by Seth Stern. Another article naming anarchists and the increasing repression from the feds. Quote, it's an escalation of a familiar tactic. In 2023, Georgia prosecutors listed zine distribution as part of the conspiracy charges against 61 Stop Cop City protesters in a sprawling RICO indictment that didn't bother to explain how each individual defendant was involved in any actual crime. I wrote back then about my concern that this wasn't just sloppy overreach, but also a blueprint for censorship. Those fears have now been validated by Sanchez's prosecution solely for possessing similar literature, unquote. At least Stern is fairly bipartisan in informing about heads of both parties undercutting or just ignoring free speech laws. Makes sense that a journalist would be worried.
Statement regarding the attack by the left-wing parastate on the Athens Polytechnic from Act for Freedom Now. A more detailed and also more jargony rendition of the fucked-up attack on anarchists by uniformed militaristic leftists in the group ARAS. This piece makes some cogent points, but also assumes some common information that non-Greeks are unlikely to be familiar with. Quote, the open occupation of the Mekanor Giayo building came to fruition in defiance of the times and against the silence of their sterile world, because the left remains resoundingly silent about the necrosis of the Polytechnic complex, while the fascist university rectors transform the Polytechnic into a panoptic shop for the obedient and an academic island for business. For an entire day, the historic site of Mekonor Giayo building was once again filled with activists, students, and visitors who were simply wandering around the historic site. Mass meetings of the anarchist movement were hosted, and a telephone conversation was held with political prisoner Dimitris Hatzivasiliadis about the history of the polytechnic occupations and riots since the 1990s. The space reopened and came back to life because anarchists historically opened closed spaces, those that the state, in this case through the university authorities, excludes from society through controlled access, and which state security forces such as Aras, Knat, or the former PASOK guards fiercely protect. We know very well that historically nothing has ever been won bloodlessly without a struggle." Unquote. The initial piece we read was more personable, but that one and this one are complementary, so reading them both is useful. Maoism is not mentioned here for those who are keeping track. That was a statement regarding the attack by the left-wing parastate.
Why Christian Anarchists Want to Burn It Down, from Sojourners by Betsy Shirley. Subheading, quote, "Our unwillingness to think beyond current political structures is a failure of Christian imagination, says Jesus-loving anarchists," unquote. Well, geez. First, last week we have Catholics approving of anarchy, and now this week there's this extremely positive take on Christian anarchists, including history of, current examples in their own words, etc. Quote, "The thought of America crumbling should bring you joy," Wildflower told me in an interview last spring. "As Christian anarchists see it, the problems that exist in our nation, poverty, white supremacy, militarism, economic inequality, and on down the list, are not aberrations in an otherwise good system, but rather inescapable outcomes of any system where some people have been put in power over others. And as people of God, Christian anarchists feel called to dismantle these oppressive systems and create radical alternatives," unquote. Aside from the pacifism from Shirley, a lot here sounds better than a lot of non-Christian anarchists we all know and hear too much from. Shit. That was right, Christian anarchists want to burn it all down.
Anarchist prisoner Dimitris Chatsvasiliadis' solidarity message for prisoner Anan Yaish, from Abolition Media. Chatsvasiliadis is another previous hunger striker, and here he's sending good vibes to a Palestinian activist imprisoned in Iran. He quotes from Yaish, quote, "I swear that I have no intention of being acquitted of the legitimate resistance against the Zionist occupation. The Palestinian resistance is one of the noblest phenomena known to history," unquote. Chatsvasiliadis' ending list of acknowledgments includes Palestinians, Aaron Bushnell, and Casey Goonan, among others.
Statement on the ban from the Anarchist Book Fair Amsterdam 2025 by OVS, from Forum Voor Anarchisme. This rendition of events by a platformist group about why they were denied space at a book fair could be an accurate story. We all know that organizing groups can be unreasonable and bad at communicating. This account definitely makes it sound like the book fair organizers are being unreasonable, but even on the face of it, it seems clear that there's stuff going on that is not being acknowledged here. Usually this kind of smoky reasons for rejecting some group is more like personal beef that is being hidden under policy language. Final word, don't know enough about the people or groups involved to weigh in here. I hate it when that happens.
Obituaries, Freddie Bayer, noted anarchist artist, 1952 to 2025, from freddiebayer.com. A sweet memorial, definitely wins for most hyperlinks in any A-News obituary so far. Seems fitting, given her many interests, and many years of making things for people to look at, read, wear, etc. Quote, "However you knew Freddie, you probably knew her strong opinions and wicked sense of humor, as well as her quirkiness and kindness," unquote. I learned about her from the many covers of Ajota magazine that she did. She sounds fun.
Audio and video. Anarchy Radio, 25 November 2025. From Anarchy Radio, 57 minutes. Doom Granddaddy is still disappointed in everyone, except the people who call into his show. One caller brought a little anarchy this week. At least, kinda.
Hello, this is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And the topic of the week is Wither Theory. And it was posted on November 23rd, 2025, and it was sent by Anonymous from Southeast. Okay.
All right. Topic of the week. In my local anarchist scene, anarchist theory and tendencies aren't often discussed. There's the obvious anarchist positions against capitalism, Marxism, and bigotries. But beyond that, not much to say about theory of change, discussing the varieties of anarchist ideas, or even discussing the, quote, big names of anarchy, Bakunin, Kropotkin, Malatesta, Goldman, Bookchin, Aragorn, or Zerzan. In fact, after a recent meeting, it was suggested to avoid centering particular anarchist beliefs, i.e. anything beyond capitalism, fascism, Stalinism, and bigotry are bad. This is because a statement such as fuck parentheses person or idea may be interpreted by new folks as fact and not opinion. This is no shade on my people. I appreciate them deeply, and some private context at least makes it somewhat understandable. 3 years ago, I never could have imagined associating with such a space. I've always interpreted avoidance of theory as cowardly, anti-intellectual, and boring. That isn't to say I imagined my anarchist scene as armchairs, but a space for the interaction of theory and practice. The whole idea to me is that you act on a theory, and if it works, it reinforces your theory. And if the action failed, go back to the drawing board of theory. Theory and action. Action and theory. Not only did I not foresee my future, and now present, anarchist scene relating to theory in such an avoidant way, I didn't expect I'd be this way either. I always imagined my theory of anarchism as a strong insurrectionist, anti-civilization one. Now I focus on political education and fundraising around migrant issues and the occasional cool protest. I'm not happy with where I've ended up. It's confusing, because now I hardly read that theory, or any theory. I'm too busy with this good work. My town has seen increasing ICE activity, and I took up with fellow anarchists a rapid response and outreach project. Where is the end civ in that? One friend said to see the inherent anarchist position of an anti-border, freedom movement, fuck 12 activity like this. But it still feels disappointing. Maybe part of it is the scene. Me and one or two others hold these anti-civ views. It is best for us to avoid the topic of civilization and technology at all, for the sake of not being called genocidalists. Regardless, is that a good enough excuse to avoid putting theory to practice, or even possibly compromising your values? The education and outreach project I've engaged in, I helped found on an explicitly anarchist basis. No discourse on criminal immigrants or ideas that about think of the economic impact. Still, how is this really different from the leftist anarchism I've historically fought against? Is it a personal weakness, or do others find themselves in a similar position? Brooding questions. 1. Is there a gap between theory and practice in your life? 2. How does your local anarchist scene utilize theory in their daily practice, if at all? And 3. How has your personal understanding of the relationship between theory and practice changed? Lot there.
Yeah, before we enter on the questions, I was thinking that there is something about this article that it's not the person, like the moment we're living in right now, it's a very weird moment. Of course, we had other weird moments in history, but the thing like that this person is feeling like taken and super busy, I forgot the word, with all the what the person called the good works, is I think that sometimes things that are happening around us do take a lot of energy, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be like that forever, and sometimes like you feel some sense of urgency, and I think it's a great thing that this person at least stopped like for a few minutes or half an hour or 1 hour. I don't know how long it takes for this person to write this, but it is like they stop and thought about what's going on, and they might not even think that what they wrote anymore, because that's one thing I think about writing or discussing. You can start with something, but your ideas like are moving, are you are, yeah, are in the process, you and you are just figuring out what is this thing that it's bothering you, like all. And anyway, so I see some merit in doing that, and at the same time I wouldn't worry as much. I mean, this person know better than, but I don't think it's that worrisome. Like, yeah, sometimes some things take over in your life, and it's good. Like, if this person is even thinking about it, it seems to me it's not going to be a forever issue, you know. It's, I don't know, I just wanted to say that, maybe because I feel very overwhelmed lately with, not exactly that, but a lot of things going on, and yeah, I don't know, what this post brought to you, what?
Dear Sad in the Southeast, I think if you have three people in your scene that share your perspective, that is a solid number of people for a shadowy anarchist cabal that could easily pitch your own ideas and test your own theories within the context of what the other people around you are doing. If the people in your scene don't want you to talk about theory, I mean, if they realize you're talking about theory, then maybe you're not talking about it well. Good theory, when discussed well, I think sounds like conversation regarding, again, tactics and theory of change, you know, like it references here. And I guess, yeah, I think people only pick up on the fact that you're like talking theory, or however you want to put it, when you're referencing authors and buzzwords like biopolitics or anti-civ or whatever. I think framing things outside of that is the way that I've always tried to approach that. And similarly, testing theory in practice and practice in theory, I mean, that's simply saying to the people that you're working with, hey guys, what we're doing isn't working. Or maybe what you're doing is working, in which case someone there had a theory that is being tested, and in practice it is working. I also think there's something to be said for, especially for anti-civ folks, and I have to say I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that position so much anymore, but I used to, and was interviewed at some point on a project that I did within that. And I think one thing that, and at the time I referenced like a Books to Prisoners project, but in this case, anti-ICE stuff, if you are advocating for a collapse of civilization, I do think that working on projects that illustrate how we look out for each other are vital. Because to me, like, that is like the difference between the people who you meet and tell them that you want to, yeah, knock out the, or not knock, you don't want to knock out, but you know, you'd love to see the power knocked out to everything on the Eastern Seaboard, including, you know, which will inevitably include hospitals or whatever. And the idea that you're not a genocidal maniac is really proven in the work that you're doing in that moment of trying to help your fellow human being survive the current situation. I will say, I think, with all that said, I do think that, like, to me, pretty much since, like, the pandemic, I think, like, anti-civ theory just has not felt super relevant to me, insofar as that, like, things are collapsing. So I don't, like, to me, like, anti-civ is just, like, it's just the water that we're swimming in at this point, you know? Like, I used to produce a lot of anti-tech and anti-civ media, and yeah, starting in 2020, I just, like, I had nothing left to say, you know? Everyone hated their screens and was hyper-mediated and was memeing about it and writing about it and making videos about it. And you know, the people finally, you know, the class war finally merged with anti-tech Kaczynski and whatever fucking theory as, like, Zuckerberg and Musk and those folks, like, emerged as, like, their final form fascists or whatever that the liberals had, like, failed to see in the 2010s or whatever. And yeah, like, explicitly anti-civ theory, like, stopped seeming very relevant to me, I guess, just because, like, it is collapsing. And so the question is, like, okay, well, like, what ducks you want to get in a row?
But wouldn't it have to do with, like, it is collapsing, but, like, with people who want to save and people who don't want to save the civilization, you know? I don't know. I think that I might agree more with you than I thought I was at first. Because, yeah, I do think there was a time when there were more people thinking of how all the technologies would help turn the life in a more free life, and there were a lot of people very excited about internet. And I feel like, at least in the anarchist environment, I don't see that much anymore. I don't see that. Yeah, people seem very disillusioned in general with internet, and even if they use it a lot, like, they don't really think that's the way anymore. But wouldn't anti-civ maybe be like, because some people think there's something to save on the society, you know, and anti-civ has maybe think there's nothing to say. I'm kind of babbling here, but I'm curious, like, for real.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, like, there are definitely different types of people who want to save our collapsing civilization. And I think, like, anti-civ in a lot of ways can look like combating those things. And to me, like, one of those main emerging ones, right, is, like, state eco-fascism. I mean, there's, like, autonomous eco-fascism as well, which is, like, we can put a pin in that. But, I mean, yeah, just, like part of the project to save American civilization is, like hardening the borders against climate refugees and, like creating a surveillance apparatus, you know, and prison apparatus and legal terrorism framework in order to, like, regulate the movement and behaviors of people within these borders. And so, yeah, I think, like, to me, that's figuring out how we build our networks and our projects and our organizational frameworks. I mean, civilization is in, at least in the Western world, civilization is in free fall. Like, no one in the U.S. thinks that things are getting, I mean, maybe, like, a few, like, fucking AI hucksters, but, like, no regular person in the U.S. thinks that things are getting better here anytime soon. Things are only decaying and collapsing, and that's, like, that's from you know, far right to far left, like, basically every, and obviously anarchists, like, everyone kind of knows that things are just, like, falling apart.
Yeah, but thinking that things are falling apart, it's different. And also, like, what I'm trying to say, like, because for me, I understand anti-civ against, like, and you have degrees maybe of anti-civ. I don't know if it's possible to say that. But there is, like, you being against, like, the whole structure, you know, the whole societal structure, including not just borders is a common theme.
Sure.
Being against borders is a common theme in anarchists, but not all anarchists are against, like, let's say, health networks, school. You know, I feel like civilization, you want to really destroy, like, there's something about, like, destroying the whole Western civilization the way it is, all the institutions and all. And I'm not sure that even though anarchists, in theory, are against institutions, I'm not sure they are, all anarchists are in the same page with the things that should disappear and not.
Yeah, I guess to me, like, but that's like, sort of what I'm saying is, like, you mentioned schools, for example.
Yeah.
It's like, the school system in the U.S. is disintegrating. Like, to be for or against schools in the U.S. is irrelevant.
It's, they're, I don't, non-functional. Think, I don't think it's irrelevant, because that's the difference between you want it to crumble, like, and you help it to crumble, and you wanted to save it and reform it, and, you know, like the story with prisons, like, you want to abolish prisons or you want to reform them. It's easier for anarchists to think in terms of prison, but I think you can put it for other things too.
Yeah, I guess I don't think anyone is saving or reforming the public school system. Like, I think, I mean, short of either, like, the fascists swooping in and, like, refabbing them as, like, weird, like, white training camps, or, like, some, like socialist party, you know, being swept into power from the left, which would never fucking happen. And, like, boosting funding and all those kinds of things. Like, as long as, like, Democrats or Republicans are in office, like, the schools will only be continually defunded. Like, they're physically falling apart.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes when, and I feel like the conflict this person that wrote might be feeling, if, because, like, a lot of these anarchist projects, like, they feel they are helping people and I honestly, I would never, I would always, like, this, okay, let me start again. So these projects, they are not helping destroy civilization. Sometimes they are even, like, they are helping just maintaining people, and maybe this is even, like, holding back some revolution or rebellion or something. But on the other hand, like, I would not know, like, I would not know how to not be against some of these projects, you know, because it feels like it's, you also don't, or I also don't want people to be miserable, I don't need to like the people and agree with them. I don't want them to get hungry. I don't want them to go to prison. I don't want that, you know. I wonder if that's the feeling, like, of doing this kind of projects. It feels like you're just helping to maintain this, like, you're not acting on the destructive part. You're kind of keeping it, like, I mean,
I don't know what the nature of their anti-ICE work is. Like, when I turn on my news or whatever, like, a lot of anti-ICE work looks like running agents out of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And I guess to me, again, like, to me, anti-civ theory right now, or, like, a fixation on anti-civ theory right now, like, misses, like, where we're at in, like, the timeline. How? Like, the thing I was saying, like, I think we're in, like an extremely late stage capitalism where, like, you don't, like, social media is becoming, like, fucking unusable.
Good.
Like no, I know, but that's what I'm saying is like Reddit is just bots. Like we're quickly moving towards like the realization of like dead internet theory, basically. And I think to me, like that thing is like all this stuff is like products are shittier and fall apart, and like Americans are like being pushed to like fucking thrifting and like scraping, you know, like fucking deal shopping and like surplus stores and shit like that, and like and a bunch of our like supply lines are becoming like fickle and weaker as like previously third world countries actually like emerge as like economic powerhouses and don't fucking need us anymore. So I mean I think American civilization at least like is in like slow free fall, and I think that like that thing is like the anti-civ question is towards ending civilization.
Okay,
and to me like the thing is like, why do you want civilization to end? Like, what is it that you want to do in this non-civilization? And you should start working on that and figuring out what you need to do to have that there, because I actually think we're just moving towards that at this point.
Okay, I agree with you with this last part.
It's like being anti-ship and like the Titanic has a massive fucking hole. Like, you don't need to be anti-Titanic at that point. You need to figure out like what you wanted to do after the Titanic sank.
Okay, I agree with you that I do think that people should always try to figure out like how to live their lives without needing the support of the civilization, you know, start creating things and networks and all that. I 100% agree with you.
I'm not necessarily talking about like lifestyle withdrawal stuff. I just mean like building whatever networks you're going to need in your neighborhoods or whatever.
Yeah. No, that too. I'm not talking about one or the other type. But I also think you cannot talk about American civilization. I think the civilization is this whole thing. And it doesn't matter if right now, like, the U.S. as a country is, like, sinking. I came from a third world country, and, like, being precarious and have to make up things is just like, it's just how you live. And it doesn't mean that this is not civilization. It is part of civilization. So if the signs change, if like US go lower and start dealing with precarious situation and other countries go up, that's not changing civilization. It's changing the country's situation, but the civilization is still there and working.
I feel like American anarchists trying to figure out how to like short circuit China's civilization is pretty
That's
navel gazing at them. You have no power in that. You have no ability to influence that.
No, but that's what I don't think you can talk about like Chinese. I don't think you can talk about like countries specifically civilization. There is a way people live that involves both the culture and institutions and relationships with, and that's all of that is the civilization. And it doesn't matter if one of them is sinking and the other one is raising, you're still like, you're keeping the imbalance is part of the civilization.
Okay,
but
my point is just like you have no influence. No American anarchist has any influence in the Chinese situation. So if the thing, yes, you're saying is true, then anti-civ anarchism is thoroughly irrelevant.
I don't,
because you have no ability to influence Chinese civilization.
No, so you don't, but
so what does it have to do with anything then?
No, you start local doing the things you were saying you're doing.
That's
like
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But so I don't know what anyway.
I mean, to me, like, this also feels like it just, like, we're back at, like, desert at this point where, like, yeah, capital is going to expand and constrict in different places around the world and at different paces. Like, things aren't just going to, like, come down or whatever. Like, different parts of the world are going to become, like, non-financially interesting for capital at different times and at different paces. And that's just what civilizational collapse is going to
look like. I'm hoping for
strongholds built that'll outlast every other part of civilization.
I'm hoping for that this civilization is collapsing. I'm just not sure if it is. I'm never sure if it is if the change that are happening is towards that or it's something different. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's the thing, is it could be moving towards something different. And to me, like, that's the part that like quote anti-civ anarchists should maybe think about is like, yeah, like I said, like one of the groups trying to save civilization is like fascists. You can call them eco-fascists. You can call them fascists, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like the people who are like, there's only enough resources here for X number of people. And like, we're going to choose based on fucking race or citizenship or whatever weird in-group out-group metric they find. And yeah, I mean, that, like, borders and the militarization of police, you know, which is surely ICE. And like, right, they're building out the, we're seeing like probably one of the largest like building sprees for what are essentially just prisons. Like, you just call them prisons, you know?
Yeah.
In the last two decades or whatever. And so, I mean, yeah, like they're just building out repressive infrastructure right now. And to me, like, that's just all happening under the auspice of anti-immigration and ICE and that stuff, you know? But yeah. It's like that's just, so yeah, I mean, to me, like, that is fighting like the tip of the saving civilizational spear, basically. I mean, if the Democrats get back in, then maybe it would look different. And, you know, countering myths around, I mean, yeah, during the Obama years, we mostly countered myths around green energy and made sure that, like, fracking didn't get counted as, like, a bridge fuel or whatever, you know, and you know, that green condos weren't used as a wedge for gentrification and shit like that, you know. But now we're in the fucking Trump years again, and it's, you know, yeah, it's fighting off the fucking building the wall and shooting people for, you know, trying to stop police from kidnapping their neighbors and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not, just to make it clear, I was not calling that reform civilization actions. I was not calling it.
Yeah, no, I got you. But no, but the individual in the,
I'm talking more for whoever, yeah, if there is anyone listening. Sure. I'm not saying that it's pro civilization or sub, anyway.
Yeah.
Or saving civilization in any way. Anyway, I just want to take a look at the questions. Mm-hmm. I think the first one, is there a gap between,
yes,
theory and practice? And maybe one day I will find out that what people mean by theory in the US, it's something absolutely different than what I understand. But what I understand by theory, it's something very rigid, and something not just rigid, but something like, I and something almost religious.
No.
Yeah, I will understand one day. I
mean,
because I feel like,
if you have a theory where you're like, I think if we do A, B will happen.
Okay, but for me, the thing is that, and maybe when you guys mean theory, that's what you mean. Like, for me, there's a lot of like observation, and it's not even like a theory. It's like, oh, I've seen this happening. I've seen that these things work this way, and I've seen these things work this way, and I'm not interested in that thing. I do think that sometimes, like, I like to play with theory in a smaller scale, you know, not in a big scale. I feel like I'm not interested in theory at all. I'm interested in observing and, but in small scale, like, oh, I want to bring more people to, I don't know, to anarchist space, or I want to, then I feel like it's, okay, let's try this. If we do this event, oh, it works. Because there's also the part that some things are going to work for some places and they are not going to work for other places. And is in that area that I kind of think that small scale theory is interesting, because, yeah, that thing worked there. Let's see that small thing in that area. Let's see if it works here. Oh, it didn't. But let's pay attention to what didn't. But a theory like of, I don't know, theory as like a revolution theory or like a anarchist theory or something like that. It seems to me that that's the thing that feels rigid to me. And
I mean, this person pretty accurately describes what theory is in the article, though.
Do you want to go back there?
Yes. But a space for the interaction of theory and practice. The whole idea to me is that you act on a theory, and if it works, it reinforces your theory. And if the action failed, go back to the drawing board of theory.
Yeah, that
theory and action, action and theory.
That's my problem. That's what I said. In a small scale, I'm fine with that, with small things. But for like big things, like if you're going to think that, that's what I don't know. No theory coming first. That's not how it, for me, it works. Like, you pay attention. You don't even need to call it anarchism. It feels very rigid to me to come
to think that doing one thing will make something happen.
No, that. Creating, like, an idea of something. I think that anarchist, and that's what anarchist is different as an example from a lot of lefty theories, is that, like, you have, as an example, Marx created, like, a theory of how things would work and should work and things to be done. The anarchist, it's something like you're observing what's happening and you are against that shit. And you, while you're doing that, you are creating something that it's not that, but it's not something to be applied. You're creating as, it's almost like as you go and being against something that you are observing there. There's not like, I don't think there's a need for an anarchist theory. I think when you embrace an anarchist theory, it is really easy for you to just become like kind of religious, and then even anti-civ can become like a kind of anarchist religion.
Maybe,
you know,
especially anti-civ.
Oh, a lot of them actually. If you get too hang up on it, you know, and then. Because then what? If your general theory anarchist, you throw it all out too, because it's a theory, like you try to apply that thing, and if that thing doesn't work, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. As I said,
know anyone who has a cohesive theory of relativity or whatever, like you're talking about, that I just don't recognize the thing that you're describing.
Okay. You don't recognize the theory, or you don't recognize people not having a theory?
I don't recognize this, like, theory of totality that is, like...
Well, there's a lot... On anarchism, there's a lot. Like, when people say what anarchism is and is not, it's a lot based on theories they decided, like, okay, so this is the anarchist theory, and...
So, like, I guess, like, when I think of theory, and maybe sure, maybe our friends at some publishing outfit would feel differently, but like to me, like anarcho-syndicalist theory, right, is like, I think that if a bunch of us stop working all at once and tell the boss that he needs to treat us better, that he will. And then I think that if we organize enough people to do that, one day, instead of asking him to treat us better, right, we'll get him to treat us better and better in order to show other workers that this is a thing that works, and then they will join us, and eventually we will have enough that we will not need to ask the boss for anything. We will simply tell him to leave. I mean, obviously not tell him, but run him out with probably weapons or whatever. But you know what I mean? It's like, essentially, right? Like, that's like a very short, you know, abridged version of like a theory.
And I think that's problematic. Like, I'm interested in like, in the anarchist practice, so the syndicalist practice, I'm interested about, not in the syndicalist theory. Like, I'm interested in when they go and do the thing, and it's not because they want to try, oh, let's try to see if we can do this with, no, like, we're being fucked here, so we're doing this, and it's not because, like...
It just sounds like you're against thinking about what you're doing, is the thing. Like, that's all I'm hearing.
It's not... But it's also like
if you try to set the thing you're doing in any kind of like a larger context,
but
then
I think
like
it's also
or cringe,
I think,
or whatever.
I do think that it's part of the anarchist practice. Like, you do things, and then while you're doing them, you are also trying to figure out things.
Yeah, that's what this person said.
No, it's not.
Okay,
it said like you have a theory. It's the theory comes first, and I think that's problematic. I think it works in small scale, like it's like a game you're playing. Okay, let's try this. But if you're thinking in...
So I have a question in this hypothetical of yours where you lash out at the boss because he's fucking you. Do you do that just thinking that it will feel good, or do you do that thinking that something might happen because of it?
It's not because it feel good. It's because I can't take that anymore. And then you get together with other people that can't take it anymore. And then you talk about it and talk, what can we do about
right,
it?
Right, that's theory.
No, yeah, but I'm talking okay. The practice first. The practice, what part
what
of the
practice
first you're not understanding?
Because I
refusing to work, as an example, refusing
to... So you're going on strike before you meet with these other people.
I don't know if you go on strike, but like at the sabotage and all that, you know?
What is your goal with the sabotage?
It's
do you have an idea of what the sabotage will do, or are you just having a meltdown and breaking something?
And then
in your meltdown,
it doesn't
you break something.
It doesn't need to stop there. Like, but I don't think it starts with a theory. Huh? I'm working. And so I need to, I don't know, make a theory about how work will be. No, you're there, you're living that, and you're observing, and
yeah.
you're not creating a theory. You're
just describing theory right now.
Nah, I don't think so. I think we disagreeing, and that's fine.
Yeah, you just say, hey, I have a theory that the other people around me
would
to not work.
No. No, you saw that they don't want, you saw that they're like, if we want to go 100.
You saw something that made you think.
It does make you think, but
oh,
it's
that's a theory.
It's the practice first.
There's no such thing.
There is such thing.
I mean,
if the theory, it's like an organized, planned, blah blah blah, and that comes.
So I have a question. All right, so you're going to refuse to work.
Mm.
Now, in this refusing to work, do you stay home? Do you shout at your boss, "I'm not going to work," or do you just throw yourself on the floor and start babbling? And why do you pick the one that you pick?
I think it depends what enraged me. I don't That's the difference between fucking theory and practice. On practice, I need like the real situation and it, with all the nuances and
singularities that seriously one of the options you're considering?
What?
You're going to throw yourself on the floor and babble? That's seriously one of the options you're considering?
I don't know. Maybe, depending.
I felt like I said two things that sounded stupid and one that sounded like it made a lot of sense, but... And it's because I have a theory that if you say I'm not going to fucking work, other workers will think that that looks reasonable. And if you do the other two,
not necessarily, because it depends if you just walk away, you might just like that, and it happens a lot. You know, mm-hmm.
Tell me what you think will happen if you walk away. Tell me what your theory is about when you walk away.
It's not theory.
It is a theory.
It's observation. If you do this by yourself alone, that's why I'm saying there's no like right fucking answer. That's why you need to take into consideration like it's you responding to an actual situation.
Yes.
Not bringing this theory is this. Would you do this or that? This is theory. No, there is no would you do this or that? Because you might do something that you thought you would not do, but that situation call for that. So that's the difference between practice and theory. The theory, like, it's everything is very clean and very clear.
No, I don't think
practice is like that.
I don't think so. I think maybe you've hung out with some very fucking boring people.
Who, me?
Yeah, dude, it sounds like it.
No, it sounds like you hang out with a lot of boring people. See the next question. people that will... Oh, no, if it's not A, B, or C, I don't know what I'm going to do because those are my options according to my theory.
No, I'm just asking. My point is just like, what do you think will happen when you do this? Do you have any idea?
And that's the fucking clue. And of course, because you, that's the fucking... Depending who...
Are you against strategy?
Depending who are my boss, depending what kind of job I do, depending on even like the political situation.
It's depending
on so fucking much thing, depending my relationship with my coworkers, depending on how, like, why is it, it's not like, that's the fucking theory.
Can you tell me
what is necessarily taking all the difference into account? It can't.
So what is the difference between theory and strategy? And are you against strategy?
Let me think. Strategy is a much smaller... it can be... I don't know necessarily... Now I'm thinking the difference between strategy and tactic.
Because I keep saying a theory, and this person also says a theory a lot.
Yes.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I'm not fully against theories in small scales. I'm against theory in big scales. That's what I'm saying.
How does your local anarchist scene utilize theory in their daily practice, if at all?
How does your local anarchist scene utilize? I don't know. I feel like it's usually used to... I might be wrong because I've been skipping a lot of... conversations with people, but because of that, what gets to me, it's a lot of conflict situation, and I think that not all the time, but sometimes, like, it's used to justify one thing or the other, you know, like personal things. That's how, but. To be fair with I'm not being very fair here. So I think that's one way, but also, yeah, I think in responses to, like this person said, in response to something like to fascist and ICE, that too. So I think people do talk sometimes like how you would answer to some things from an anarchist perspective. Yeah, I'm being very unfair, but it's because that's on me. I have not been too close to people talking. But yeah. So I think both. It can be used both to justify personal things that you want to, but also thinking of strategies, if you want, tactics. I don't know what's the right word there.
All right.
About you? What do you think?
Yes, there's a massive gap between theory and practice in my life. I don't know how my local anarchist scene utilizes theory in their daily practice. How has your personal understanding of the relationship between theory and practice changed?
How has your personal understanding of... I feel like that didn't change much yet, and I'm sometimes try to be... Here's the thing. If on a daily basis, if somebody uses theory, I don't discuss it. I try to understand it like they are just using the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least for me, from my perspective, I say, I don't think they mean theory, but I also not going to discuss
this. Now, you read a lot of theory, though.
No. I mean, I read some theory, but I...
There's a book that you've been...
It's not about theory.
Okay.
Have you read it?
It's literally anarchist theory.
Which one you're saying?
The one on punishment and...
No!
Is it history?
No.
Is it fiction?
No.
It is theory.
No. You read it. You read it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to you. It's not theory.
Would you describe...
It has some theory.
Would you describe Foucault as theory?
No.
Everyone else would describe Foucault as theory.
I know, because Americans don't know better.
Okay.
Foucault himself doesn't use... And that's maybe where my thing comes. Like, I spent too much
time... Oh, you're just hung up on a word again. Is that it? Is that what we're doing here? Is that what we've been doing for the last 20 minutes? Is that literally you think this thing is great, but there's a word that you're hung up on, and if we called it something else, you wouldn't mind? That is what we're doing. Okay.
That's not just that, because there is also the thing
of talking about... Because you were just about to say Foucault doesn't use the word theory, and that's why
Theory. Okay. That's true, but also that was not what we were discussing yet. It's just like you brought Foucault right now, and I was like, I remember Foucault actually has like a critique about theory, and he opposed theory to analysis, but that was not even what I was talking about. I was talking about how theory was presented, and I told you, like, in a small scale, I think it works. I don't think it works in a big scale, and then we were talking about that. We just shift... And the two things seems to be connected, but not necessarily. I do agree with you. I need to rethink my past formation. Doesn't mean that I disagree with it, but I need to be more cautious on how to use it so I just don't reproduce it. But I was talking about something different until you brought it up, and then my brain went straight to...
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're talking too much, and it might not be even interesting for people who are listening.
Definitely they'll want to turn the volume down. They can listen to it at 3x or whatever until they get through the part where we shout at each other. how has your personal understanding of the relationship between theory and practice changed? My theories have changed dramatically over 25 years, surely. I don't know. And I guess I just practice a lot less than I did at some points in my life.
Okay, so I want to understand something, and I'm not being facetious or anything. Because if I think, like, how I would see anarchist practice before, and how what anarchism was to me before, how I would see anarchism before and how I see it now, it had changed a lot. I mean, I don't know if a lot, but a lot of things changed since I was a teen and first heard about anarchism. And I wouldn't call that theory. But would you say there is a... So when you say that your theory didn't change...
So when this person uses the term theory in here, they say insurrectionary anti-civilization. Those are the words they use. When they are talking about theory, those are the words they... those are the types of adjectives that they are using to describe theory.
That's the thing that I think... That's the big part that I think is very limiting and very rigid. Like, I would not like to call myself... like one kind or other kind. Like, I wouldn't call myself again like an individualist or a communist, and because I think that it is like there are moments and there are situations that things that would be more considered more to one side or the other or even both at the same time would happen. So that's what I think theories are very limiting and can just become easily like a religion or something.
Yeah, I think you're against dogmas, but it's okay. We don't need to keep dissecting what the word theory means.
But anyway, so when you say that your anarchist theory didn't change...
changed dramatically.
Okay, has changed dramatically. Okay. I don't have anything to ask.
Yeah, I mean, just...
No, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it just means that the stuff that I think is important as a cornerstone for stuff is different than the things I thought were, focal points or whatever.
Okay.
Or I think at a different scale, or I think that the thing that... And part of it is, like, the thing that I think that should be tackled, right? Where, like when I was doing a lot of anti-prison stuff, it's because I thought that prisons were one of the rupture points in our society, right? Where I thought that prisoners were a... not uniquely... a reachable class of people, but certainly people with every reason to want to destroy the current system, and also the people most open to having fucking kind of dry literature sent to them, honestly. Yeah. And would read it and discuss it. I thought simultaneously, and the fact that, like, with 2.3 million people in prison here, like, most people, especially, like, working class people, have loved ones in prisons. And so it's true. Like, I picked the thing that I was going to focus on for several years based on what I thought would be relatable to both people on the outside and was also, and also that I thought that our current society was dependent on prisons. And so that, like, simultaneously, it seemed like a thing that you could rally people against and that our current society would have a lot of trouble actually, like, negotiating on.
Yeah.
So that was my theory.
Okay. Anything you would like to bring from the comments? I didn't read. I mean, I'm
probably one of the most insufferable comment sections we've had so far. Sorry, last time I said that someone got mad at me. Someone who I like.
We don't have to comment then. I'm tired. That's all. I'm trying to not say sorry, but also
there's a very special line in here. It's fine. I'm
too Christian. You can go ahead.
No, I'm not gonna roast anybody on here. It's
you can roast. It's fine. People are on the internet. I worry more than I should, probably.
Nah, I'm all right.
Okay. Okay.
Oof, another one in the bag.
Yep.
All right, this is what happens when we get caffeinated late at night and then just, like, go for it.
Yep.
All right. Okay. All right, Donnie fucking don't.
And Chi-Chi. Bye.
This week's podcast is sound edited by Rosnante. The What's New is written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and
Texto Bear.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarchist series.
Pretend it's not the end of the world.